Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Okay, good morning from my side as well. Who's excited to be here? Come on, we're getting there, man. You guys must be excited because this is God's house. And God is about to speak to us. He's about to show us things and He's about to align us. So when I was busy preparing this message, I always say, I don't know if you guys know how it feels to prepare a message. It's not easy. You can go every area you want in the Bible. You can pick a scripture. You can do whatever. But to get a word that is in season for us to hear from God, it's not easy. But God always speaks. Amen. And who believes the word that we're going to receive today is from God? It's not from me. I'm just the one delivering the word. But I believe there's a revelation that God wants to share with us. And I've been ministering. It was a while back. I ministered on being a pilgrim in a foreign country. Who remembers that? Okay. So I'm going to build a little bit on the fact that we are people in a country, but it's not our land. We are foreign to this world. We are in a system where the world is leading and the world is against the kingdom of God. And when I'm speaking about that, it's about principalities, things that are happening in the spirit. But we as believers have got a duty to do. We've got a command that God gives us to go and reach people, to get them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So God is busy aligning us. For us as a church, but also church as a whole. We can't play church anymore. We need to align with the word of God. Now, how many times do we live our lives and we think, you know what, I know how I should live. But when last did you actually go and check in the Bible if what you believe is truly what God is saying? Many times we will feel that we need to fight things. Many times we will feel that there's certain things that we need to do, but what does the scripture say to us? So the message that I want to share, I'm going to try and do my best to not be too long. It's going to be out of 1 Peter 1, it's basically chapter 1 up until chapter 5. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you must bring your Bibles to church, okay? What if technology crashes? Okay, it can happen. We're living in the end times. Think about it. Okay, we see a lot of stuff happening. Do you have a Bible? And if you don't have a Bible here, your phone is your next best thing. Okay, that's okay. I approve. No problem with that. Just as long as you've got your word in front of you. See, if you've got your Bible, and remember, there's apps you can download. There's actually, I've actually read through the Bible and actually over this chapters where I would read through it and then I would put it on audio. So I would listen to it. It's so many nice things that you can do to get the word into your spirit. Okay, so if we open up at 1 Peter, I'm going to focus on 2 verses. I want to open with those 2 verses. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 to 12. So I hope it's the same. Okay. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wages war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though you are accused of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. Okay, then the second one is 1 Peter 5 verse 12 to 13. That is at the end of 1 Peter, so there's 5 chapters. At the end we read verse 12. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She, who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Just quickly say to your neighbor, stand firm. Stand firm. You are called in a country that's not your own, a world that's not your own. We need to look spiritually at what God wants to say to us today. But basically, he is reminding us that firstly, we are children of God, chosen. You are chosen, but you are exiled. You are aliens. You know the Bible talks about aliens, okay? You're the aliens, okay? You are foreign to this world. But God is saying, in this world, we must stand firm. And I truly believe this is a word from God where he is calling us to stand firm in this season. Who feels that the season is a bit shaky? Okay? I can see if it's shaky. Okay? You know what people do? They don't come to church. They hide away. They sustain themselves from certain things. Whenever we go through something, whenever there's something happening in the spirit, a shift is about to take place. It's like the shaking takes place. You can quickly see people are struggling. And I want to give you a word today where you need to be reminded again why you are here, why you are on earth, why you are a believer, and what is the mandate that God has given us. Amen? So as we walk through this teaching or preaching, I'm going to see how it goes. I want you to get one thing. God is asking us, although it feels shaky, although it feels it's not a lucky season, God is saying stand firm in it. There's a promise. Do you believe in the promise? Do you believe that God has got promises over our lives? Amen? But we need to be in unity. So we're going to keep on pushing. We're going to keep on preaching the will of God and the seasons so that you can understand where we are at. Amen. I don't know if I have water, Christ. Thank you. Okay, so the sermon today will be taught out of 1 Peter. So I've already said that. But please go and read through all 5 chapters. You can actually do this quite a lot. Go and read through the chapters. And you will see how Peter is addressing the church in Rome. So Peter was one of the 12 disciples Jesus appointed and taught during the time on earth, so during his time on earth. So Peter spent the final years of his life and ministry as the leader of the church of Rome. 1 Peter was written to the churches in the Roman provinces who were experiencing persecution. So get this. Peter is speaking to the church in Rome. It's letters that he's sending out addressing the church that are experiencing persecution. Okay? They are going through some stuff. And he's giving them a message. His message is to stand firm and walk in the grace of God. So we stand firm, but we're going to see now what it means to walk in the grace of God. He also calls the church to be holy as God is holy, and then your way of life can influence others. Okay, so if you're making notes, get this. Stand firm and walk in the grace of God. Be holy as God is holy, and your way of life can then influence other people. The scripture that we just read said that you will influence the pagans. Okay? So not each other. We're going to influence the world. What is your function in this world? Although it's not our world, we're not from here, we were placed here for a reason. And how we conduct ourselves is going to influence the others that needs to come into the kingdom of God, into God's culture. Amen? So the encouragement to the church, when Peter writes to the churches in Rome, he encourages believers who found themselves in the midst of a pagan culture. Now, I want you to understand this. This is a culture of the world. When we speak about the pagans, we speak about the pagan culture. It's about the culture of the world. What are we busy seeing currently in the world happening? What is the culture that the world wants us to conform to? Peter encourages these believers to be influencers. Just say the word, influences. Okay? We need to influence people. How do we do it? We meditate on the word of God, reading scripture so that we can understand what God is saying. Not think, okay, God, that's what we're supposed to do. go and read in scripture what God says how we must conduct ourselves. Be holy, the word says, be holy, and then we impact our community. So the lives that we live, being holy, being according to the will of God, looking at how we conduct ourselves, we then can go and influence our community. You are all called to influence your community. Amen? That's why you're sitting here. You are being taught. You are being raised up in the Word of God so that you can go out and go and influence other people. So, these believers in the book of Peter, the church, was actually faced with three temptations. So I want to speak about the three temptations. We're going to go into some scripture. But I want you to see, as the church is tempted, we are tempted as well. And in a culture that's not our culture, it's not how we believed according to the values of God, we found ourselves in situations where we will be tempted with three things. Maybe you will go for the one, the second one, the third one. But I want you to be reminded this morning, what are your go-to when persecution comes? What are your go-to? So the temptations, you can just quickly listen and then I'm going to build on it. So the first temptation for the church is to blend in or to conform to the world. Okay? Get this if you want to write it down. They were tempted to blend in with the rest of the people, to lose all distinctiveness and not stand out or go against the stream. Okay? So that's the first temptation or warning or thing that can happen for us as believers, as a church in this world, is to just blend in. We are not standing out. Secondly, hostility. You can write it down. And I'm saying write it down because what are you going to do this week when you meditate upon the word? Okay, luckily we've got all our podcasts and all our stuff that you can go and listen to the word. But we need to be a church that are continually busy learning. Learning the word of God. Getting the word into our hearts. So hostility. They were tempted to become hostile towards the pagan culture. To push and fight back in order to gain power and status. Okay, we want to fight the culture of the world, but not the way how God intended us to fight. Okay? And even in the Bible and how we see it, many times the sword were drawn and they wanted to fight this, but God said, no, this is not the way we're going to fight it. And thirdly, is to retreat. The church becomes a place where they actually hide away from the world. We all are like-minded. Let's just keep to ourselves. Leave the world behind. They're not the same as us. Is that what God expects of us? Not really. Not according to 1 Peter. Not according to the word that Peter speaks to the churches. So what does it mean for us today? These temptations exist for us. As Christians today, we are also the minority in the world. Okay, have you noticed? We are not many. We don't have enough churches in the world today to really bring all the people in that needs to be brought in. Because the pressure and cares of the world, we are tempted daily to conform to the world, to fight it, or to hide from it. So reminded again, temptations, to conform to it, to become like it, to fight it, or to hide from it. Being a Christian is not easy. And many times we follow what we think we should do and not instruction from the scripture. Okay, because many times we think we should fight, we should do this. But what does the word of God say? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves when it comes to persecution, when it comes to being a church in a world that is against you? It's against the word of God. It's against the kingdom of God. So I pray that your ears will be open to really listen to the word today because it's important. So let's go to the end of the letter. So we're going to go to 1 Peter 5 verse 12. We just read it. So I'm going to start there where Peter is greeting and saying thank you to Silas, who helped him to write the letter. There's many, theories on how he assisted. But it says, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. So he's saying in this letter, if we go back, that's why I said you must go and read the scripture. He is saying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Then it says, she who is in Babylon. Now, for those who have your Bibles, your translation will probably say, your sister church who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. Okay? Now, this is where it gets interesting. So what is interesting is that these churches were not in Babylon. Think about, Peter is busy writing a letter to the church in Rome. It's not Babylon. Okay? Babylon existed a few hundred years ago. There was time that passed, and then the Roman Empire stood up. Okay? In fact, I'm going to skip this. So why would Peter encourage the churches in Rome to stand firm under the Babylonian Empire if Babylon does not exist anymore? So Peter is actually making a theological statement. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? He's speaking to the churches in Rome, but at the end of his letter, he greets them and says, the churches in Babylon. So who is Babylon? Babylon was the oppressive power structure which sought to destroy the kingdom of God and failed. Okay? If we look at what happened. Babylon is a principality. You getting this? It is a rule of this world. The Bible speaks about it. Now, I believe Peter is saying, now Rome, the churches in Rome, has taken that role. Okay? The Roman Empire. It's the same spirit. It is oppressing the Christians. It is oppressing the churches. So this is nothing new for us today. We are still in a world that's got a system, a Babylonian system, a Roman system. It's a spirit behind it. And that spirit wants to do what? It wants to destroy the kingdom of God. And understanding this, we understand that what we are fighting, it's not people, it's not feelings, it's not emotions, it's not all of these things. There are principalities that's against the church. And God is saying, in this, you must stand firm. And I'm going to show you how we conduct ourselves against the spirit. So he's saying, stand firm as we live in Babylon. Now, I want you to go to Daniel 1, verse 1 to 4. So I'm going to read the first part, verse 1, and then we're going to go to verse 3 and going to verse 4. So Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So we see in the time of Daniel, what happened is the Babylonian reign, the king came and he seized the Israelites. He took their men. It says in verse 4, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing, for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. Okay? I'm going to build on this. I hope you're getting this. So Babylon was a military power that attacked the land that God's people lived in. In Daniel's time, they took the people away, scattered them, and forced their culture on them. What is busy happening in the world today that was already happening that time? There's a culture that's being enforced on your children, on you, on everyone living with us, a culture, a literature. So basically, Babylon, the system of this world, wants to teach us their ways. You're getting this? Can you see the connection now? Rome is the new Babylon. It is trying to force its culture and way of living onto the people of God. It is not only then, it is today as well. We are getting used to the ungodliness. Think about what you watch. Think about what we hear. It's all of this ungodliness, but we have become accustomed to it. Psalm 137, verse 1. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. When on the..." How do I say that? Lazy poplars? I don't know what that is. "We hang our harps, for there our captors ask us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy, and they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then they say, how can we sing the song of the Lord while in a foreign land?" Can you as a Christian see the culture of Babylon just being forced down on the people? You see the culture of this world. It's trying to penetrate. It's trying to overcome all of the people living in this world. But see, we've got a different way of living. We've got different values. Revelation 17, verse 5 to 6. And here we see again where the Bible mentions Babylon. "The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abomination of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people and the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished." See, the word speaks about this system, about this principality. And you know, it feeds on the destruction of Christians, the killing of Christians. Whenever that spirit wants to get us out of what we are busy doing, it's got a language, it's got a lingo, it's got a way of forcing itself on everyone. So just as it was in Babylon, it's in Rome as Peter's writing these letters, and we see it in Revelation. So we see that the system is still going and continuing. See, the context of 1 Peter, the church was persecuted by Nero. He blamed the Christians for everything and he killed them. If you are a Christian, you are the minority living in a culture who has all of the power. But this is where we overcome. This is where we understand the power that's been given to us. So I quickly want to touch on this because I want us to get something this morning. I want you to understand the plans of the enemy. I want you to understand that it's more than a feeling or emotion what you are going through. You are fighting a principality. And we as believers need to wake up and understand what is busy happening. So we as a church need to be strong. We need to be standing firm. We need to know what the scripture tells us to be able to come against this principality, to influence, to penetrate, and to make a difference. So I just want to quickly touch on the method of Babylon in the time of Daniel. So what happened to Daniel? So how this principality works, it was to teach the Israelites to speak the lingo. You had to sound like they did. And if we think about the world wants us to sound like them. Think about what we are faced with every day. Then they had to read all the Babylonian literature so that they could be fully persuaded of how glorious and wondrous Babylon really is. We see every day, the world is inviting. The world is glorious. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to walk this road. You've got everything that you need in this world. You can be happy. Some Christians feel we're not happy because we're Christians. You're missing it. because it's brainwashing, it's things that's busy happening. And finally, they even had their names changed so that their new identity was Babylonian and their conversion was complete. See, the system wants to separate God's people from their roots. The world wants to separate you from God and wants to make you think that this is your place, this is your world. But God is saying, no, remember where you come from. Remember that you are not from this world. I've chosen you. You are here for a while, making a difference, walking, doing what needs to be done. But there is a place called home that we're going to. See, the Babylonian system brainwashes and indoctrinates the people. They wanted to forget their home, and they want them to change their name. See, bottom line of our lives is clear. Don't let the world change your name and your character. Don't base your identity as a Christian on what the world would label you. So nearly all of Daniel's outward life was changed, if we read through the scripture. But the question is, could it change his heart? And we find ourselves in a system where we can't change everything. We can't. But with the help of God, we influence and we keep our hearts pure, knowing what we are called for and knowing that this is principalities. These are things we fight against, but we are not part of it. And we need to help extract the people from this kingdom and into the kingdom of light. So 1 Peter is more like a sermon. So how do we live in Rome? How do we survive? How do we survive as Christians in a Babylonian system, the world system? See, Peter intertwines Rome and Babylon. How do we live in Rome and how do we live in Babylon? How do I live? How do I raise my children in this world? Because think about it. We don't have the facilities or the systems as a church, as a church in this world, to just take our children out of schools and put them in only Christian schools. We are all forced to put our kids in a system where we can't control what they are being taught, what they receive, even in work. How nice would it be if all of us can just work together and make money and, you know, we're all going to be good, né? It's easy. But we are in a world where we are confronted with all of these things on a daily basis. So how do we live in this world? How do we impact this world? And this is Peter's message. Stand firm in the grace of God. I'm going to explain it now. Coming back to the three temptations in Babylon that the church is experiencing. Remember, Peter is writing to the church of Rome. He's saying, you are in Babylon, because he's talking about the principality. And then I want to touch on these, on these temptations, because the invitation to stand firm needs to be answered in these three temptations. Because as we are tempted to blend in, to fight the culture, or to just retreat, God is actually saying that we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't conform. See, temptation to blend in or to assimilate. Now, assimilate means to become part of a group or society. So what it speaks about, the culture of the world around us is very different to the values of the kingdom of God. Okay, you agree? You agree the values of this world is different than the kingdom of God? The temptation is to just blend in like everyone else, blending in or being part or not wanting to miss out. So think about in your walk with God, in your walk in this world, sometimes it's easy to just blend in. Not to stand out, not to be set apart where people can see, but you are a Christian. Okay, I'm a pastor. Sometimes I'm like, just don't see I'm a pastor. Okay, I just want to blend in. Okay, do we do that? We do it. We're in a situation where there's wisdom needed, or you're in a group and you just don't want to stand out because you just want to be part of the group. You just want to be part of this world and how things work. See, we can't be, as a Christian, at a place where we are not how can I say it? We need to be distinct. We need to stand out that people can see this is the light. And I'm going to show you how we're going to do it. Hostility to fight the culture. Remember, the church in Rome was in a pagan culture. The pagan culture, the Babylonian, the Roman culture was forcing this on the people, saying, this is how you're going to conduct yourself. This is how you're going to do. And this is what you're going to do. And how many times I'm just going to take a school as an example. You walk in and there's maybe things on in the classroom that you don't like. It's like, this is not part of my values. Or university or a doctor's place or whatever. You see things physically that is not according to your values. So are you the person who's going to be hostile towards that culture? Are you going to fight it and say, you must remove this, or I'm going to put up my posters, okay, with all the commandments and everything? Understand that when we do that, we don't influence. We basically push people away. The third one, to retreat. And I think sometimes churches, we like to retreat. We have our cell groups, but it's just us, because we all like-minded. We're all believers. We all believe in the same God. We all have the same values. And it's not bad, but what is your influence? You are needed to go out. The church needs to be out there to be able to influence this world. If we retreat, I'm a Christian, I believe, this is my people, I only cater with people that I know, okay? We are not influencing. So the way forward to all of these questions is what? Influence. When God speaks about the grace, when God speaks about how we should conduct ourselves, we should be holy, for I am holy. What does the scripture say? I just quickly want to go to that scripture. I think it's in the beginning. First Peter 2:11-12. We looked at it in the beginning. Thinking about influence. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from the sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. So instead of blending in, hiding away, or fighting, God is saying, how can you go in and influence? If we fight with people, we can't influence them. If we retreat, we're not letting anyone being part of our little group, we can't influence people. So God is basically saying, conduct yourself in the correct way. That's why we must become, we must wash, we must be taught in the Word of God. We must live a holy life so that other people can see our good deeds. You know, at work, if you've got a, what's the word now? You freak out about something that happened, okay? Your way of conducting yourself, is that going to offend the culture of the company or do whatever? And sometimes people say things like, no, but I stand for God. And I've got the right to say this. And I've got the right to stand and fight this culture, to fight this thing that's happening. But God is actually saying in 1 Peter that we should humble ourselves, show love, have self-control, because then the pagans surrounding you that's not got Christ yet can see the way you conduct yourself. And because of the way you walk, this Christian walk, you influence people that's around you. And what happens once you start influencing people? trust are being built. Relationship is being built. And what happens? It opens a door for an invitation to Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? See, in 1 Peter, or basically Peter is reminding us that we are a chosen people. You sitting here, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have been chosen. You are chosen by God to fulfill a purpose. In 1 Peter 1, the very first verse, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, those who were selected, those who were called by him, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We have been scattered for a reason. We are exiles, we are foreigners in a country. But God is saying, don't build up kingdoms for yourself, because your kingdom is not from this world. It is my kingdom, and you are going there with me. But in your time here on earth, we need to conduct ourselves in a way that influences your society. That's basically the message of 1 Peter. Conduct yourself in a way so that you can influence other people. We have a calling and work to do. We can't blend in. And we are not going to fight, and we are not going to hide. We are going to serve and extend grace. Many times we think we're too gracious. Well, this person is too gracious. But it wins a heart. It wins. This way we can influence. And this is the message of 1 Peter. Live a holy life, and in doing so, the way you conduct your life will influence the world. See, 1 Peter starts with and basically ends with grace. 1 Peter, let's read 1 Peter 1 verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. It's extended to us. And then 1 Peter 5 verse 12 says at the end, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God, stand fast in it. So in a world where we are confronted with a system, principality that is ruling this world, Peter comes in his letter and he encourages us. And he says, stand firm. Because basically you've received everything you need to stand in this world. And then he's going on to say that we should influence our community. And this is the grace that's been extended. This is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And church, I want to challenge you as I end off with this. And maybe go and listen again to the sermon. Or go and read through 1 Peter 1 to 5. Go and hear, but listen or read now with a different perception. Understanding that as Peter speaks about all of these things that we should do, okay, he speaks about how a wife is supposed to have a soft spirit, a gentle spirit. For what reason? To influence your husband. It's all about the influence. It's to have an influence in someone else's life. To reach the lost people out there. So go and read through the scriptures, understanding that we're not going to fight, we're not going to blend in, we're not going to retreat and hide away, but we're going to go into this world making a difference by the influence we have. So maybe just close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to just think for a moment, or see this in the spirit. See the world we are currently living in. see the world, see it as a system that wants to destroy the kingdom of God. And see how God places you right there in the middle of the system. And he's saying to you, my child, you are chosen for a time like this, for a season like this. You are alive on this earth now because I need you now. You see the chaos. You see the things that's being said. The loss of hope with people around you. You see all of these things happening. But God is saying, I've placed you in the middle of this, in the middle of the chaos, to be an example to those around you, extending grace to them. And by doing so, they will be seeing me. They will see my heart. They will see my holiness. And that will change their hearts. So while your eyes are closed, just say, Lord, I want to do this. I want to walk according to your will and your scripture, Father. And I, as the message is sent forth this morning of being an influencer, Father, of rather than fighting and retreating, Father, send me. And may I be sensitive to your word. May I be sensitive to those surrounding me so that I can have the wisdom to answer the correct way, to influence the correct way. Help me to become holy like you are holy. And I pray that God will come and touch you as you're sitting there to rid you of all of the feelings and the cares of this world. But that you will experience a new mandate in your heart, understanding that the emotions, everything that's happening, it's not normal. There's things working in this world. But I pray that you will have the boldness to go in and make a difference in this world. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And to hear what God is saying. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.